Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. In this episode, I want to talk to you about natural gas. If you've been following the channel, you'll be fully aware that the natural gas supplies from Russia to Europe have been one of the key issues over the course of the last 12 months, because a lot of the European countries had built their infrastructure based on that natural gas supply. A lot of electricity is generated in Europe using natural gas, and also natural gas is supplied directly to a lot of households and used for cooking and heating. So it's an absolutely critical part of the infrastructure. And at the start of 2022, Russia was the single largest supplier of natural gas directly into Europe. Now, following Russia's invasion of Ukraine, most of the countries of Europe came out and stated that they no longer wanted to buy Russian gas. But they were left in a real quandary, because that gas was being supplied via pipelines directly, and it was the cheapest way of getting hold of gas. And as it's very difficult to build replacement pipelines and to find new suppliers, the easiest option was to move to liquefied natural gas, but that presented most of the countries with a problem because you have to put all of the infrastructure in place, because liquefied natural gas by definition is a liquid, and so in order to feed it back into your network you have to regasify it, and so you have to get these floating plants or build major infrastructure. So that takes time and money to do. So over the course of 2022, most European countries continued to buy that Russian gas, but we're now getting to a tipping point because the storage facilities are full and Russia is threatening to switch off all of those supplies. And as we go into 2023, there is no guarantee that European countries will want to buy Russian gas or that Russia will continue to provide those supplies. So in today's episode, we'll have a quick recap of what the historic supply situation was, what's happened during 2022, what's been going on with regards to prices. We'll have a look at what's going on with European storage levels, and I'll share with you a fantastic graphic that's been provided by visualcapitalist.com. We'll then have a look at the wider global supply of gas and where Europe managed to find additional supplies during 2022. And then we'll look at the projections for 2023, and that's where the concerns are rising. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summaries to what I think is likely to happen during 2023 with regards to gas supplies and what the implications of that are for the European economy and the global economy. So before we get started, if you've got the time, please give me a like, please subscribe if you haven't done so already, and if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find all the usual links. As I mentioned in the intro, at the start of 2022, a lot of European countries were highly dependent on the supply of natural gas directly from Russia, as a main result of the pipelines that had been built all across Europe by Russia over the course of the last 20 years. This graphic shows the historic percentages of natural gas that were purchased directly from Russia for a variety of European countries. And you can see that there are a number of countries that were buying more than 90% of their gas from Russia. And all of these countries are located very close to Russia, and most of them have historic ties being part of the previous Soviet Union. But it wasn't just former Soviet states that had a high dependence. Germany and Italy were buying close to 50% of all of their gas supplies from Russia. And those supplies were critical to both of those economies because both countries are using gas to produce electricity and also supplying it directly to households for their heating and cooking needs. So this graphic really shows how important those Russian gas supplies were to a lot of European countries at the start of 2022. And this bar chart shows the value of Russian energy exports to Europe dating back to 2008. And natural gas is shown in the grey section at the top of each of those bars. And this shows that in 2021, Russia earned $43.4 billion from gas sales to Europe, which represented around 30% of all of its energy revenues from sales to Europe. So whilst Europe was dependent on the Russian gas supplies, Russia was also dependent on those sales for its revenue flows. This chart shows the supply of Russian gas by pipeline directly into Europe, dating back to the start of 2021. And the four different lines on this chart relate to the four different pipelines. The blue line at the top is the Nord Stream pipeline. The black line is the Ukraine transit pipeline. So these are the pipelines that actually travel across Ukrainian land. The grey line is the Yamal pipeline, which goes via Poland. And the red line at the bottom is the Turk Stream pipeline that goes via Turkey. So if we look firstly at the situation for 2021, you can see that there was a big dip in the Nord Stream pipeline around halfway through the year. And this relates to the annual maintenance that takes place towards the end of August. But apart from that dip, supplies remained relatively constant at around 1.2 billion cubic meters of gas per week. Supplies via the Ukrainian pipelines in 2021 actually reduced over the course of the year, starting at around 1 billion cubic meters per week in January. and ending the year at around 700 million cubic metres. The Yamal pipeline also saw a reduction in supply over 2021, reducing from around 770 million cubic metres in January to 169 million cubic metres in the last week of December. And supplies via the Turkstream pipeline actually increased from 145 million cubic metres in January to 306 million cubic metres at the end of December. Now, if we look at what's happened during 2022 and start with the Nord Stream pipeline, you can see that there was a small drop in the volume of gas supplied in March following Russia's invasion of Ukraine. However, despite this initial blip, Germany realised that it needed to keep buying that Russian gas, and so gas supplies returned to their usual level until the period of planned maintenance, similar to what we saw back in 2021. However, the pipeline was never returned to its capacity after the planned maintenance. Russia subsequently claimed that it was unable to supply gas due to a missing turbine that was held by the Canadian authorities as part of the sanctions, and then we subsequently saw the two explosions take place, and the Nord Stream pipelines are now defunct. There is no gas whatsoever flowing through them. If you look at what's happened to the other pipelines, the supply coming through the Ukraine territory has reduced compared to the 2021 levels, and this relates to a number of issues that have occurred over the course of the war. Supplies through the Yamal pipeline, which travels through Poland, have also ceased now, and this relates directly to Poland having all of their gas supplies switched off by Russia, and Russia claimed that they were concerned that Poland was going to start siphoning off the gas and therefore close down all of those supplies. And finally, the supplies through the Turkstream pipeline have been relatively unaffected because Turkey have maintained a strong relationship with Russia and actually have confirmed that they want to do more trade with them going forward. So the overall summary of what happened in 2022 was that we've seen a big fall in the amount of gas that's supplied by Russia to Europe, and the reduction of the supply has really accelerated over the course of the last 6 months. In 2021, Russia supplied around 120 billion cubic metres to Europe. However, that has fallen to around 60 billion cubic metres in 2022 and is expected to fall significantly into 2023. This chart plots the movement in natural gas prices in Europe over the course of the last 12 months. And what this shows is that a megawatt hour of gas was trading for around 72 euros prior to Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Immediately following the invasion, prices shot up to around 225 euros per megawatt hour. However, prices quickly came back down as it became apparent that Russia was prepared to continue supplying gas to Europe and Europe was prepared to continue buying it. But as we moved into the summer months, supplies from Russia started to be reduced significantly. And this drove the price of gas up to above 300 euros per megawatt hour by the end of August. Now, as the European nations started to fill their storage tanks, and also global demand for gas started to reduce as a direct result of the global slowdown, we saw prices come back down to around 100 euros per megawatt hour. However, over the course of the last month or so, we've seen prices starting to rise again. So all of this is obviously fairly concerning. But if we expand the graph out to the five-year period, you can see why there are so many problems in Europe right now, because the long-term price of gas over the last 5 years has been trading at or below 20 euros per megawatt hour. So the current price of around 140 euros represents a 7 times increase compared with historic rates. And the big issue here is that gas is critical to Europe. Firstly, it's used to create electricity, and obviously everybody has to use electricity, so that's an increased cost for everyone. And also, natural gas is used directly by industry in a lot of manufacturing processes, and it's used by consumers for heating and cooking. So these prices have fed directly into the price of everything, and that's one of the reasons why inflation is so high all across Europe right now. This graphic shows the current levels of European gas storage, along with an indication which shows what percentage of the total usage is provided directly by storage for each of those countries. And as I mentioned at the start of the video, this graphic has been provided by visualcapitalist.com. I'm not sponsored by the site, I just think it's a really useful form of information. And I know this graphic is a bit silly because it's showing gas cylinders, but it just tickled my fancy. I quite liked that. I saw it and I thought, yeah, that's the sort of thing that I'd like to share with you guys. I thought it made the topic a bit more interesting. So let's quickly run through some of the key countries in Europe that we talked about earlier that were previously highly dependent on those Russian gas supplies. Now, Ukraine isn't a country that I've talked about a lot in terms of the gas supplies, but there is a major problem in the country. As you can see, the storage levels currently in Ukraine are around 30% full. So unlike the rest of Europe, Ukraine hasn't been able to access major gas supplies, mainly as a result of the fact that it's refusing to do any business directly with Russia. So Ukraine is sourcing its gas from other countries, and therefore it's very difficult to be able to build up its storage. It's barely able to buy enough gas to meet its ongoing requirements. So that's why it's not filling up any of its storage. And if you look below the gas cylinder, in 2021, 38% of Ukraine's total usage came from its storage. So what this indicates is that Ukraine is going to have major problems in 2023 because they're only 30% full. And if they're relying on storage to provide over a third of all of their supplies, then it's going to run out very quickly. Now, if we move on to Germany, the great news is that Germany's capacity is 99% full. So over the first three quarters of 2022, Germany made a concerted effort to fill all of its storage. It was buying as much gas as it could from Russia and everywhere else, and putting it under the ground to see the country through the winter. So at face value, this looks fantastic and looks like Germany have sorted out all of their requirements. But if you look at the percentage below, which says how much of their actual usage comes directly from storage, it's only 27%. So unfortunately, even though its storage capacity is completely full, that's not going to solve the problem for Germany because it needs to find another 73% of gas to get through the next 12 months. And that is one of the biggest challenges that all of these European countries are facing, because Russia's no longer supplying the same amount of gas that it was. They may have their storage facilities full right now, which will get them through the next few months. It will get them through the winter of 2022. But as we go into 2023, major problems could well start appearing in Germany and other countries. The situation for Italy is very similar. They're at 92% capacity right now, which is great news. But unfortunately, storage only represents 25% of their annual usage. So they still need to find another 75% from elsewhere, and that's going to be a big challenge. The Netherlands has achieved 89% storage, which is great, but it only represents 35% of their total usage. Similar situation in France. They have 98% storage capacity, which is fantastic, but it only represents 30% of their annual usage. Now, Austria is in a very strong position here. And this is interesting because a few months ago, I reported on this situation and Austria was only around 2/3 full in terms of its storage, but it's managed to fill up all of its storage to 95%. And the great news for Austria is that its storage covers 100% of all of its annual requirements. So Austria is now sorted for 2023. Hungary is in a decent position. It's got 83% storage capacity. And once it gets that capacity full, that represents more than half of its annual requirements. So that's good news. But Hungary also has an exemption from the EU that it's able to keep buying gas directly from Russia. Because of its geographic location, it's very difficult for it to be able to replace those gas supplies with LNG. And so it's been given a dispensation. As has the Czech Republic, which has 96% storage capacity, that's great news, which covers 46% of its annual requirements, but it's also able to keep buying from Russia. On the positive side, Poland is at 98% capacity. On the negative side, it only covers 15% of Poland's total requirements. Similar situation for Spain. They're at 97% capacity, but it only covers 10% of their annual requirement. Romania's at 94% capacity, which covers 27% of their total annual usage. And I'll finish off with the UK, which is a very interesting situation. The UK has achieved 100% of its storage capacity. So you would think that is amazing news. The UK is going to be very happy. But unfortunately, that storage capacity only covers 1% of the total usage in the UK. So basically, the UK doesn't really have any storage capacity. What this is telling us is that they've got very, very small, limited amounts of storage. They filled it up, but if it's only covering 1%, it gets lost in the roundings. It's absolutely pointless. So the UK needs to find alternative supplies, but it wasn't particularly dependent on Russian gas anyway. So it's not going to change anything for the UK's perspective. So hopefully you've enjoyed this graphic as much as I have. And as I said, I'll hopefully find some more fun ones to share with you soon. So as I've mentioned, one of the challenges for the EU over the course of 2023 is being able to source enough gas to meet all of their requirements, because Russia's no longer selling anything like the volume that it was selling in 2022. So once those storage capacities are used up, the EU will need to find more gas in the open market. And most of that gas is going to come from LNG. So let's have a look at what the situation was for 2022. This chart shows the movements in demand and supply for liquefied natural gas natural gas between January and October 2022. So what this shows is that as a direct result of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, the European Union switched its demand for gas to liquefied natural gas, and there was an increase of around 43 billion cubic meters in demand. And other European countries outside of the EU, such as the UK, also had an increase in demand. So if you combine the first two sections of this chart, you can see that there's an increase in demand for Europe of around 53 billion cubic meters. Now, the rest of this chart shows where that 53 billion cubic meters was actually found. Luckily, at the same time as Europe's demand for LNG was increasing, China's demand was decreasing as a result of the lockdowns that have been applied all across the country during 2022. And you can see that there was a reduction in demand for LNG of around 20 billion cubic meters from China as a result of that slowdown. In addition to that, you can also see that there was a reduction in demand from the rest of Asia, South America, and the rest of the world. But when you add the net movement of the increase in demand from Europe and the reduction in demand from the rest of the world, there was still an overall increase in demand for LNG of around 23 billion cubic meters. And as you can see, around half of that demand was met by increased exports directly from the USA, and the remainder came from exports from the rest of the world. So the overall summary here is that it was fortuitous that the increase in demand from Europe came at a time when there was a reduction in demand from the rest of the world, and the global supply chain only needed to find around 23 billion cubic meters. And one of the big questions here is what's going to happen in 2023? This chart shows the projected gas storage levels for the European Union and the United Kingdom by the end of March 2023 under four different scenarios. The first scenario assumes that Europe and the EU can achieve a 13% reduction in gas usage over the course of the next few months. And if it can do that, then that means that there would be around 37 billion cubic meters of gas left in the storage sites. If usage is in line with the five-year average, then there will be over 30 billion cubic meters left in storage. Now, because demand has increased rapidly over the last few years, the five-year average is actually less than what's been used in recent years. So if there's a 9% reduction in demand over the next few months, then we will see around 25 billion cubic meters left in storage. However, if there's no reduction in demand, then there will be virtually no storage left by the end of March. And the problem that Europe faces is that it needs to refill all of those gas storage facilities to get through the winter period of 2023. And this chart shows the amount of additional gas that will be needed in the summer of 23 to achieve 95% storage levels. So you can see that this shows that in a best case scenario of 13% demand reduction, Europe will need to find around 60 billion cubic meters. However, if there's no reduction in demand, it's going to need to find around 90 billion cubic meters during the summer of 2023 to get back to that 95% fill level. And this chart looks at the additional demand requirement for LNG from Europe and estimates where the additional supply is going to be provided from. So this shows additional supplies will come from Norway, internal European supplies, North Africa, Azerbaijan. The orange section is the USA, so that's the biggest single increase. But what this shows is that even if the USA can achieve that increase of around 80 billion cubic meters, there will still be a shortfall of around 30 billion cubic meters. So the big concern here is that if Europe can't achieve the reduction in demand that it's forecasting at the moment, then there will be an actual shortfall, and that could lead to major problems. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because I think we can get a bit too blasé about the situation with regards to gas supplies. The storage levels are virtually full. Everybody has achieved their objective of getting above 80% storage. So that all seems fine at face value. But when you look at the detail, when you look at the actual information, you can see that most of the countries need to get their gas from elsewhere. The storage only provides somewhere around 20 or 30% of the annual requirement. So the other 70 or 80% is needing to come from ongoing supplies. And the problem that Europe is facing is that those storage facilities will see them through the next few months. So they'll get through the really cold period of 2022 and the start of 2023. So that's good news. But if they run down all of those supplies, as they come through into 2023, they'll need to fill them all from scratch. And because Russia's no longer supplying the same amount of gas, that gas is going to need to come from elsewhere. And it's probably going to need to come from liquefied natural gas. And there's two implications for Europe here. Firstly, there's the cost. And secondly, there's the absolute amount of global supply. So from a cost perspective, LNG is significantly more expensive than the gas that was coming through the pipelines from Russia. The reason that everyone was buying all of that gas is because it was cheap and it was convenient. It was being delivered directly to source. Everybody's now having to scramble around and set up their own LNG regasification facilities. And that's adding more cost because obviously you've got to pay for all of that equipment. It's also more expensive to buy LNG because of the production costs involved. Obviously, it has to be reduced down to a liquid. It then has to be put onto ships, transported halfway across the world, and then regasified. So all of that adds more cost. So there's cost upon cost here for the European nations. So that's going to further fuel inflation as we go through 2023. And as you'll know if you follow the channel, inflation is one of the key issues for most countries around the world right now. A lot of central banks are increasing interest rates to try and bring inflation back down. But as we see changes to the supply chain, and as we see countries moving from piped gas to liquefied natural gas, we're going to see a natural amount of inflation building up. So cost and inflation are going to be a big issue for these countries. But in addition to the cost, the other main issue facing Europe right now is the absolute amount of LNG that's available globally. In 2022, there was a big increase in demand from Europe that luckily was mostly offset by a reduction in demand from China. But if we see China starting to come out of the lockdown periods and there's an increase in LNG, we could see an explosion in demand globally that could put pressure on the supply chains and mean that firstly, prices will go up and secondly, there could be shortages. Now, as you'll know, if you follow the channel, China recently announced that it was dropping its zero tolerance policy with regards to COVID. So it's now going to have a more relaxed outlook. So this potentially could mean that demand for LNG starts to increase in China. Now, that might be offset by the global slowdown. So actually, in a bizarre way, the global recession could save Europe from shortages because the demand from China might reduce just because the economy is slowing down. But there is a very real chance that during 2023, Europe could find that there's just not enough LNG around in the world to be able to satisfy its demands. And that then goes back to that question that we've talked about before of what happens if Europe can't find enough gas? Will we see blackouts? Will they be able to find other ways of producing electricity? A lot of countries are currently reactivating their coal-fired power stations that they were looking to put out of commission as a direct result of this gas crisis, because they need ways of producing electricity. So there will be a big challenge over the course of the next 6 to 12 months for many countries of finding ways to get that electricity, because the last thing that everybody needs if we're going into a global recession is to have blackouts and companies having to shut down because they've got no power. And of course, if you follow the channel, you'll be aware that the whole world is interconnected. So if Europe starts to have blackouts and problems with its economies, that will have a knock-on impact to the global economy. So it's bad news for everybody. So hopefully you found today's episode useful, informative and thought-provoking, and you like the graphic of the gas bottles that I showed you earlier. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up, and thanks for watching this video all the way through to the end.